are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
Reading from Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with the justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And now Matthew 12:15 through 21. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope.
All right, thank you both for reading. I hope you've been having some fun this season. I hope that you have been laughing and making memories together with your loved ones this Christmas season. But you know, we live in a culture where if we're not careful, Christmas doesn't go very deep. We can think we're celebrating Christmas, but be a long ways off from anything related to Christ. Elf names and reindeer names and brand names can crowd out something far more important. I want to ask you this Christmas Eve, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? What does the name of Jesus mean to you? Jesus is given all kinds of symbolic names in the Bible, even long before he's born. 700 years before the first Christmas, the prophet Isaiah calls him Emmanuel, God with us. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all these names that we've studied here during the Sundays in Advent. But Advent is now in the rear view, and the question this Christmas Eve is, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? In the Bible, a name isn't just a name, but it means the whole person. A name in the Bible is their identity and their purpose. And in Matthew 12, we're going to see this passage tell us something about the name of Jesus and what it means. Now, it's not a passage from the Christmas story per se, but I'd like to put it alongside the Christmas story that the kids shared with us, that Andrew read for us today. Because I think that this will allow us to look into the manger and see the baby beyond the stable. Sometimes we can get stuck in the nativity scene and forget why Jesus came. Matthew 12 is going to tell us why he came. And I'd like to sum it all up in just two words that we'll find in the text. Two words that form the bookends of the passage. Two words that tell us why Jesus came. This is why he was born. This is what his name means. And the first word is healing. The first word is healing. Matthew 12:15 says, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. Now, Jesus has been ruffling some feathers, so much so that the religious leaders at this point are now plotting to kill him. So he withdraws to a quieter place. And yet still, the crowd seemed to find him wherever he goes. And we know from Mark's gospel that people were traveling to see Jesus from as far away as Idumea, just to come and see him. Idumea is 100 miles away. That is Elk River to Rochester on foot. But 100 miles are not too far for someone in need of healing. There are some of us here this Christmas who are acutely aware of our need for healing, for ourselves or for someone we love. And we would walk 100 miles and more if we could just find it. Of course, we often think of physical illness when it comes to healing, and that's true. But this picture is comprehensive. There is more than one way to not be well, isn't there? And Jesus came to bring healing to the whole person. It says, he healed all who were ill. That's why he came, to bring healing. And much of what follows in this passage in Matthew 12 is a description of the healing ministry of Jesus. Matthew 12 contains the largest Old Testament quote in all of Matthew's gospel. Matthew 12, 17 says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And then in what we read, we have this long, extended passage from Isaiah 42. It's all about the one who will bring our healing. It's about Jesus. His identity first, and then his purpose. So first, in summary fashion, he is God's chosen servant, it says. He is Holy Spirit anointed. That's his identity. That's who he is. And then from there, it moves to purpose. He has a mission of justice and mercy. That's what he does. I'm so thankful to occasionally come across a reminder about what it really means to follow Jesus. There are men and women and families who risk their lives to get to a Christmas Eve worship service today. Our dilemmas are what service to go to or what cookies to try. And I don't say that to make us feel guilty about it, but it's just a very different reality from some places in the world. This week I read a report about two churches in China, one in Guangdong province and the other in Sichuan. You see, in China, churches are required to register under the government-sanctioned three-self patriotic state church, which is essentially just an arm of the government. And if you don't register and you don't comply, then your church is deemed illegal. Now, ahead of Christmas, Chinese authorities have put new energy into cracking down on non-sanctioned churches. So, yesterday, 60 armed officers and religious affairs officials interrupted the weekly worship gathering of an underground church in Guangdong. They seized all print materials, they confiscated all of the worshipers' cell phones, and they closed down the church. One person described the scene this way and said, halfway through the children's Bible class, we heard the footsteps of dozens of officers and officials stomping up the stairs. They read out notices declaring our venue was illegal and confiscated our Bibles. The Sunday before that, December 9th, officials had shut down another church in Sichuan province, arresting more than a dozen church members. Then on Sunday the 16th, with their church locked and guarded by officials, 50 to 60 people still met to gather outside for worship, maybe much like we do in the summer when we have our outdoor worship service in the park. That's what they did. They held a service in a riverside park nearby, singing hymns, praying, and then, get this, reciting the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. Now to you and me, that might sound like a very dry exercise until you see what that part of the catechism says. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Their worship gathering was once again halted and the participants arrested. Now, why do we bring this up? It's so far away and it's such a different place. You might think, well, the only thing I know about Sichuan is that that's the spicy chicken dish at Lian Chin's. But we bring this up because we're asking the question, what does the name of Jesus mean to you? We know what it means to them. He's their healer. He is the one who will bring justice and mercy. The text paints a beautiful picture in Matthew 12:20, where it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." The reed was a tool that was used for measuring and for support. So if the reed was bent or cracked, or in other words, bruised, then it was useless. A wick for a lamp was made of strips of cloth. And if the wick was faulty, it would smolder when you lit it. So it would cast no light, and it would just pollute the room with smoke. So what do you suppose that the ordinary person would do with a bruised reed or a smoldering wick? It's not a hard question. You'd replace it. You'd snap the reed over your knee and throw it away. You'd get rid of the old wick and you'd find a new one. But the text says, not Jesus. The text says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. As one writer put it, he has an extraordinary willingness to encourage damaged and vulnerable people. If you showed up at church today and you are a bruised reed or a smoldering wick, and you have things in your life that are battered or broken, then Jesus says to you, welcome home. I can fix this. The first word is healing. That's why Jesus came. That's what his name means. And the second word is hope. Comes at the very end, and it's the other bookend to this passage. Matthew 12:21 says, in his name the nations will put their hope. The last word is hope. The last song that we'll sing today is Silent Night. And the story of how it was written is a story about hope. You might know that Silent Night was originally written in German, and here's how it came to be. It was 200 years ago that in a small Austrian village, there was a problem. Christmas was just a couple days away, and the organ at the church broke down. Now, this was at a time when in music in the church, you only really had one instrument, and that was the organ. It was the instrument that accompanied congregational singing. And now here it was just a couple days away from celebrating Christmas, and the organ was out of commission. So here's what happened. The pastor and the organist had an emergency meeting to figure out what to do. And the pastor handed the organist a poem that he had written sometime earlier. And he said to him, do you think that you can come up with a simple melody to go with this that can just be accompanied on a guitar? Well, the organist said, well, sure, I suppose we could use the guitar. And he took the poem home to write a new song. Well, Christmas came, and these two guys with just a guitar led the congregation in singing for the first time ever, Silent Night. And that might have been it. Might have never heard the song again. Except a few days later, the organ repairman arrived. And he saw the piece of music sitting there, and he asked them if he could take it with him and take it home to his own village. So he did that, and in his home village, there was a family of traveling singers who picked up the song from him. And that's how the song Silent Night started to make its way around the world. Today, it is sung in over 300 languages, including in Mandarin Chinese, the language of Sichuan Province. But here's the point. Silent Night doesn't get written if the organ doesn't break down. Bruised reeds, smoldering wicks, broken organs, these are the raw materials of hope. God sees your situation. He knows you through and through. He sees your situation. He knows what's not working in your life. He knows what needs healing. He knows what needs fixing. And he invites you to put your hope in him. That's why he came. I was reading in an Advent devotional the other morning, and I came across these words. It said, "The Son of God did not come to establish a nostalgic, family-oriented, commercially successful holiday. The angel told Joseph, 'Mary will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" That's why he came. That's what his name means. That's the hope and healing, our two words of Christmas. Jesus says at another point in the Gospels, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And so I say to you on this Christmas Eve, bring your reeds and bring your wicks and bring whatever instrument that you have to play for him. And he will take it from there. In fact, he already has. When he came to give his life for you on the cross, in his death you have healing that no earthly sickness can sway. And in his name you have the hope of nations and the promise of eternity. We'll finish with the question from the start. What does the name of Jesus mean? It means healing. Even if you feel like you're 100 miles away, it means healing, and he is waiting for you. And secondly, it means hope. It means that tonight, no broken instrument will keep us from singing, "Christ the Savior is born." Will you put your hope in him? What does the name of Jesus mean to you? Let's pray together. We wait in hope for you, Lord. You are our help. You are our shield. Our hearts rejoice in you, Lord, and we trust in your name. Lord, may your unfailing love be with us now as we put our hope in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.